Hello, this is Pastor Robert from Esterhazy Baptist Church in Esterhazy, Saskatchewan. Thank you for joining us today. This message is for the week of September 24th, 2023. We're continuing to look at the book of Proverbs, and today we're starting a series, Life's Deadly Follies, with a look at gluttony from Proverbs 23, 19 to 21. The call to worship is from Psalm 118, verse 1 and 24, from the Message translation. 124 and 29. Thank God because He's good, because His love never quits. This is the very day God acted. Let's celebrate and be festive. Thank God, He's so good. His love never quits. Amen. Amen. The book of Proverbs is not just a collection of snappy sayings to repeat to your children. It offers us God's wisdom for navigating life. Now, because of this, it deals with subjects which may make us uncomfortable, yet they are things that we will have to make decisions about. That is the purpose of Proverbs, careful self-evaluation. So let's examine our own hearts for any sinful tendencies which we must then choose to reject. In Proverbs chapter 23, verses 19 to 21, the wise father warns his children away from joining with people whose behavior will lead them to poverty. These verses say, "Listen, my son, and be wise, and set your heart on the right path. Do not join with those who drink too much wine or gorge themselves on meat. For drunkards and gluttons become poor, and drowsiness clothes them in rags." We see here the father warns his son away from those who drink too much wine or gorge themselves on meat, drunkards and gluttons. While the church has been vocal about the danger of allowing alcohol to control you, gluttony tends not to be addressed. Yet the Bible is clear. Allowing anything to take priority in your life over God is wrong, even if it is just food. As men, many of us have or have had the belief that a missed or delayed meal could be fatal. As a result, we can get very particular about food, its quality, quantity, and variety. Also, most of us here have eaten when we weren't really hungry for various therapeutic reasons, be it boredom or companionship or loneliness or happiness or sorrow. Food can be to us a great friend or a controlling taskmaster. While the abundance of good, safe food that we have in Canada is a blessing, the supersizing of our current generations suggests something more than alleviating our hunger is at work in our love of food. It's told a small girl was showing a bathroom scale to a playmate and was heard to say, "All I know is you stand on it and it makes you angry." Interesting what children observe. Let's be clear. While obesity is a major health concern in North America, gluttony does not equal obesity. There are many medical reasons for obesity. Pastor John Piper defines gluttony as a craving for food or drink that masters you. A craving for food or drink that masters you. That's the key. Who or what is your master? You can tell by where you turn for consolation or by what occupies your thoughts and passions and time. For example, have you heard about that new restaurant? They say the food is to die for. I can't wait to try it. The Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3, 19 warns of those whose God is their stomach. Whose God is their stomach. That was driving them and their motivations. These people are living to eat rather than eating to live. Here's an extreme example from history of being mastered by food. Thomas Costain's history, The Three Edwards, described the life of Edward of Ranald III, a 14th century duke in what is now Belgium, who was grossly overweight. After a violent quarrel, Ranald's younger brother Edward led a successful revolt against him. Edward captured his brother Ranald, but did not kill him. Instead, he built a room around Ranald in the castle and promised him he could regain his title and property as soon as he was able to leave the room. Now, this would not have been difficult for most people since the room had several windows and a door of near normal size, and none were locked or barred. The problem was Ranald's size. To regain his freedom, he needed to lose weight. But Edward knew his older brother, and each day he sent a variety of delicious foods. Instead of dieting his way out of prison, Ranald grew fatter. When Duke Edward was accused of cruelty, his answer was, "My brother is not a prisoner. He may leave when he so wills." Ranald stayed in that room for 10 years and wasn't released until after Edward died in battle. By then, his health was so ruined, he died within a year, a prisoner of his own appetite. Imagine not being willing to control your appetite for your own good, for your own health, for your own freedom. The Bible has examples of this as well, not being able to control your appetite. In Genesis 25, 29 to 34, Esau felt that filling his empty stomach was more important than keeping his birthright. So he sold it to his twin brother Jacob for a pot of stew. Esau is an example of living for the moment and not thinking about the future consequences of your current choice. Hebrews 12:16 says, "Make sure that no one is as concerned about earthly things as Esau was. He sold his birthrights as a firstborn son for a single meal." In Numbers chapter 11, verses 4 to 6, God's miraculous provision of heavenly manna to sustain the Israelites while they were in the wilderness wasn't sufficient for them. They even began to regret that they had left Egypt as they longingly remembered the fish and vegetables they had to eat there. Need I remind you, they weren't holidaying in Egypt, this Egypt they longed to return to. They had been slaves there. Talk about allowing one's stomach to become one's God. In Proverbs 23, verses 1 to 3, the father tells his children, "Practice moderation and self-restraint." And he uses some memorable language here to help them remember. He says, "When you sit to dine with a ruler, note well what is before you and put a knife to your throat. If you are given to gluttony, do not crave his delicacies, for that food is deceptive." The father is warning his children, don't get drawn in here. Don't get enticed. It may be that this is a test of your character. The father may have understood this as a way the ruler would test someone's character. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28, likens a lack of self-discipline to a city that no longer has its protective walls. It says, like a city that is broken into and without walls, so is a person who has no self-control over his spirit. No self-control. Now, when you have the use of the company expense account, can you show restraint? Or do you feel entitled to indulge yourself with it? This is the test in Proverbs 23:1-3. Gluttony at its root is the sin of selfishness and self-worship. I am seeking to please myself. That's all that matters. And so I don't care about the needs of others. This is my pizza. Get your own. Or whatever it might be. In Amos chapter 6, verse 1 and 4-7, the prophet spoke God's judgment on those with this sinful, self-entitled attitude. Amos chapter 6, verse 1 and then 4-7 says, "What sorrow awaits you who lounge in luxury in Jerusalem and you who feel secure in Samaria? You are famous and popular in Israel, and the people go to you for help. How terrible for you who sprawl on ivory beds and lounge on your couches, eating the meat of tender lambs from the flock and the choice calves fattened in the stall. You sing trivial songs to the sound of the harp and fancy yourself to be great musicians like David. You drink wine by the bowlful and perfume yourself with fragrant lotions. You care nothing about the ruin of your nation. Therefore, you will be the first to be led away as captives. Suddenly, all your parties will end." Gluttony breeds the illusion of self-sufficiency and that we are independent from God. I can look after myself. In Luke 12, 16-23, Jesus told this story. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. He said to himself, "What should I do? I don't have room for all my crops." Then he said, "I know. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I'll have room enough to store all my wheat and store other goods. And I'll sit back and I'll say to myself, 'My friend, you've stored away for years to come. Now take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, you will die this very night. Then who will get everything you work for?'" And then Jesus says, "Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth but not have a rich relationship with God." And then Jesus continued in the following verses, 22-34, to tell his followers to make their priority seeking God's kingdom, because God is worthy of their trust, and knowing their needs, he will provide for them. Luke 12:29-31 says, "And don't be concerned about what to eat and what to drink. Don't worry about such things. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers all over the world, but your Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need. Food is not bad. God provides it for our life and well-being. Yet we need to enjoy it with healthy moderation and not let our cravings dictate our behavior. How can I conquer my gluttonous tendencies to serve my wants and desires rather than seeking after Jesus and his kingdom?" First of all, confess this gluttony as a sin. Psalm 32, verse 5 says, I made my sin known to you, and I did not cover up my guilt. I decided to confess them to you, O Lord. Then you forgave all my sins. Second, go to Jesus to satisfy your longings. He is the living water, and he is the bread from heaven. And thirdly, submit to the directing of the Holy Spirit rather than your own spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23 tell us, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our life: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Self-control will result as you submit to the Holy Spirit's guidance. Battle the tendency towards gluttony and self-absorption by responding to the Holy Spirit's prompting to share with others. It said the generous man enriches himself by giving. The miser hoards himself poor. As God's stewards, we are managers of his estate. Be at peace. He is providing for us. Acknowledge him as your provider and Lord, and allow him to bless others through your giving, looking for opportunities to be a blessing with your time, resources, and presence. Amen. We're going to close by singing the hymn, Have Thine Own Way, in our service. And let me finish with a benediction. May the hero of all history talk personally to you. May you find in Jesus the answer to the deepest needs of your life. May you remember your highest privilege. You are known by God and cherished by heaven. Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. God bless you. Goodbye.